He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It's the October 21st edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Netflix sags while the stimulus talks drag, I guess you could say, this morning. Guess what? The market is trading up again today on hopes of stimulus, which it just can't get enough of. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We had the Dow yesterday ending up 113 points. Right now we're up 133, so we have a little bit of a lift here. I guess the stimulus talks must be going somewhere instead of nowhere today. The Dow, however, has been mired in this area for quite some time, 28,440. Over at the NASDAQ, it's got a little more lift in its step today than the Dow. It's up 83 points, 11,600, right on the button just now. Of course, its all-time high. It had an intraday close above 12,000 about 6 weeks ago, something like that. And the S&P just wants to hang out in the 3,400, 3,500 elevation area, waiting for snow. 19 points. It's up 19 points today, the S&P 500, 0.6%. Got a little lift in the gold stocks, the precious metal stocks today. They're doing pretty well. Gold is up $13.50, taking another run at $2,000 per ounce. We'll see if it can get back into that rarefied air. Crude oil down 68 cents, 41.02. Silver up 33 cents, 25.31. All-important bond market, the gargantuous, giant bond market, a little bit bloated here. The 10-year yield, a little sell-off in the bond market today, 0.82, still historic low rates. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've got enough material here today for two shows. I just checked with my producers there in Dallas. They said, no, Bill, you got to end after an hour. We got a show coming on right after you. So we're going to have to really cherry pick the stories here today because there are a lot of stories out there today. Netflix sags, stimulus talks drag would be the title of the show today. Yesterday, it was all about stimulus talks, you know, Pelosi, Mnuchin. They go back and forth. They keep dangling, you know, in front of the market. Their stimulus coming. Trump says we got to go really, really big. The Republican says we can't keep going big like this. You know, it's the debt is increasing, and Pelosi on this side says, you know, want to rescue our cities around America. And then it goes on and on and on. Everybody's got their little area that they're trying to protect or help. And in the meantime, maybe something happens by Friday. We'll see. We're less than 2 weeks away from the election here. We've got all of the breaking news and the presidential race. It certainly keeps things interesting, doesn't it? There's plenty to watch these days. Within 2 days is what we're being told now. By Friday, we could have a stimulus deal. Meanwhile, over in Europe, now they're watching our stimulus talks. There's no doubt about that. I mean, as the U.S. goes, so goes the rest of the world pretty much. But their bigger concern right now is the virus, obviously, in Europe, and Brexit. You know, I could have said that every single day for the last, whatever, 4 years, 3 years, whatever it was when they had that vote to exit out of the European Union, dubbed Brexit. There's been news on that every single day. I don't know if there's more news on Brexit every day or on Tesla, one or the other. I mean, there's news every day on Tesla. Elon does know how to promote And others are pretty good at promoting, too, out there in the publicly traded world. But Europe was lower overnight. You know, yeah, I mean, going forward, the coronavirus is going to play a big role in the world economy, in our U.S. economy, in the economy of our states, right down to the economy of our little communities here that we live in. And meanwhile, of course, the vaccine, the race for the vaccine goes on, and there's really big news on that front today, which I'll get to here in a bit. But I'm going to call the number one story today, the first big tech stock reports earnings during this current earnings season. And yeah, it's one of the FANG stocks. It's the N in FANG, Netflix, which I currently do not own. You know, I did not like, I had a nice profit in Netflix. I'd owned it for quite some time in my large cap premier growth portfolio. I mean, is it not one of the premier large cap growths of today, stocks of today? Is it not one of the biggest disruptors we've ever seen in our lifetime? Netflix. But I didn't like the controversy surrounding it when they decided to, you know, buy the rights and air the very controversial movie that they had called Cuties or Beauties or whatever. I'll be honest, I canceled our personal subscription over that. I was not happy at all. Not that I used it that much. It's just like, okay, you're dinging my checking account every week or every month, and I'm really not using it. Now you've put me over the top airing something as distasteful as that. And I think a lot of people must have followed. Netflix subs dipped. That means the subscriptions dipped as expected, but they're going full steam ahead with production. Okay, so if you're looking at a scale, a balance scale, on the one side their income, their revenue dipped, and on the other side of that scale they're increasing their expenses by going full steam ahead with their production. And of course, I would think that Netflix is benefiting quite a bit, actually. I know they are, from coronavirus. You've basically got Hollywood shut down in producing new movies because the theaters are shut down. The traditional distribution channel of the entertainment network that flows out of Hollywood is really disrupted right now, and Netflix is kind of sitting in the catbird seat with the biggest streaming model in the world. But at the same time, you know, you can't keep up the kind of growth that they have forever. Right now, Netflix, NFLX, is down pretty hard. It is down 5.4%. It's back under $500 per share. It was up to $575 per share. So you've seen a pretty steep sell-off in Netflix. I'm happy to be out of it at this current time. I was a longtime investor in Netflix, and who knows? I mean, I may get back into it at some point in time, but right now, yeah, they've got a few issues that they need to work through. So anyways, I would call Netflix the number one story. Of course, we are in the midst of earnings season. It is starting. The floodgates are starting to open. You know, there was a trickle when earnings season began about a week ago. You always have the big bank stocks, which to me are pretty much yawners, especially these days. The banking sector, not a good sector to be invested in. We're in a very low interest rate environment. That is not good for the bank stocks, okay? But it is good still for other areas of the market. Obviously, the home builders and other areas that benefit from low interest rates. That's why it's so important to stay on top of interest rates. But having said that, the earnings parade is now really stepping up the pace. Tonight, we're going to get, let's see, where did I write that down? I want to say Chipotle. Yeah, Chipotle's going to report tonight. And a couple others, CSX Railroad. Oh, strap your seatbelts. Get ready. Who's reporting earnings tonight after the close? None other than Tesla. You know, it used to be that Apple was the most watched and anticipated earnings report of the quarter. You know, Tesla may have supplanted it. I think the big ones are Apple, Amazon, Tesla. Those are the really, really big earnings reports these days. Netflix is right up there, however. But we will be getting Tesla and Chipotle, a couple of crowd favorites after the close of the market tonight. We do own Chipotle in our both our large cap growth portfolio and in our ultra growth portfolio. One of the great stocks of all time, Chipotle. All right, well, we got in some of it, but there's a lot more to talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Right now, Dow up 132 on hopes of stimulus. How many times have we heard that? And the NASDAQ right now, let's see, it was up about 90 just a few seconds ago. 85 right now, 85 points. I would say the second biggest story of the day, and it's a surprising one, I have never been an investor in Snapchat. They've had a very difficult time over the years monetizing the social media giant. In fact, they've never turned a profit since they went public, or as a company, they have never made a nickel in earnings. And they're not making a nickel. They made a penny. That's one of the very few quarters. But it's definitely the stock of the day. Snap, a $54 billion company. Are they still run out of Santa Monica? Yeah, Santa Monica. Not exactly the Silicon Valley, but not too far south of there, Santa Monica, just west of Hollywood and all of that. Snap is up 29, almost 30% today, which comes as a big surprise. Now, I will say this, okay? I've looked at it several times recently. Let's look at the beststocksnowapp.com. Okay, what sector is Snapchat in? It's in the technology, internet, social media sector, okay? The problem is you can't really put a valuation on it. Half of my equation is valuation. And without any earnings, I'm an earnings-based valuation guy. That's what I learned as an analyst in my years doing research work. I did earnings-based valuation. So if you don't have any earnings, it makes it difficult. You know, you have to build some pro formas way out into the future. Or you have to use other metrics. You know, I remember in the early days of social media, they were valuing AOL, America Online. Remember America Online? You've got mail. They were valuing that company per subscriber. Okay, each subscriber had a value. And that turned out to not be a very good model because AOL was priced way too high. Time Warner came along. Was it Time Warner that bought AOL, paid way too much? Who uses AOL anymore? You know, raise your hand. I know when I see a email coming from somebody with an AOL account, they're probably like 78 years old or something and never switched over to Google or whatever. But anyway, Snapchat has had some really good momentum, which is the other half of my equation. On momentum alone, 3 months ago, I have 5,435 securities that I rank in my proprietary database with my algorithms that I invented. Snap was ranked number 40 3 months ago. That's out of 5,435. It was ranked number 39 2 months ago. 1 month ago, it was ranked number 30. So it's maintained the top 50 ranking out of 5,435. Even as of yesterday, it was ranked number 160 out of 5,435. And I came pretty close to buying it a few times. That's one of those fish that got away, you know. You had them on the line, and you could see them, but you never got them in the boat. So I never did put Snapchat in the boat. I've had a hard time with their management over the years. I've had a hard time with their efforts to try to monetize the company. But, you know, give them credit. They're bringing in about $2 billion a year in sales, $2 billion a year in sales. But they have had almost zero success in being profitable, and that's the reason I haven't gotten into it. But we'll call it the stock of the day, up 30%. It goes to a $53 billion company, and I'm sure you're scratching your head saying, why didn't I think of that? Probably, I think it was a couple of college kids thinking up Snapchat. Okay, the next big story, well, you got to stick with the antitrust story against Google. It's been a while since there's been a big antitrust case. I do remember Bill Gates being on the hot seat, where he was trying to not only control the operating system, he was trying to control the email, he was trying to control the search, and he was trying to control the browser and get it all under one tent there, at their Seattle headquarters. But the antitrust people stepped in, put a stop to that. Then he tried to buy TurboTax, and that was cut short. And now it's Google under the hot seat. But Google has said that they will fight back. You know, the U.S. has to have a good case. They've got to prove their case. This is a very complicated case. In the meantime, Google's having a very good day today. The company formerly known as Google, we still all call it Google, although they changed their name to Alphabet. Well, they're in some alphabet soup here. The stock is up 3.4% today, however. That's a pretty good-looking chart on Google, and they have maintained a 20% growth rate over the last 5 years. I mean, they learned to monetize their search engines a long time ago. They have been an extremely profitable company. And they're going to make, you know, Snapchat's going to lose money again this year. Google's going to make about $57 per share. No wonder the antitrust people are looking at them. Okay, next biggest story. You know, I think I'll save that one for when we come back. Instead, I'll go with this one. New York City. This is a reason why I don't have any exposure to real estate investment trust. Even though they've been a reliable source for income over the years, the REIT companies are under siege right now, most of them. The New York City office real estate market is a train wreck. Remember when they used to show Manhattan and all the people on the streets and the subways full and the restaurants full and the theaters full and Broadway full and the full of tourists? Now you've got iconic hotels closing down. You've got all of this New York City office real estate sitting vacant. And a lot of these are controlled by real estate investment trust. The office REITs are under siege right now as people work from home. Who are they going to get to fill those expensive office spaces in New York City? Will it ever come back? Well, it's being called a train wreck. And I'm sure Los Angeles is not much better. I'm sure Chicago is not much better. I'm sure Seattle is not much better. We're seeing a whole shift here, a major quake of a shift in the landscape of the workplace, and it's affecting many sectors of the market. Okay, we'll talk about the big story on coronavirus, the vaccine, when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Dow holding on to 102-point gain. NASDAQ 66 right now. Lost a little bit of air out of the tires of the NASDAQ. The stimulus talks continue, and supposedly within the next 48 hours we'll have another shot in the arm. You know, someone's got to pay for it. The money's not sitting in the bank somewhere. It either has to be printed or it has to be borrowed. It looks like it could be another $2 trillion. This will be the biggest year annual federal deficit in history, which a lot of that, most of that coronavirus related. I just want to go back to this New York office story just for a moment before we move on to the vaccine. Here's some of the REITs that are affected by this. If you own any of these, Alexandria Real Estate Equities, Boston Properties, Brookfield Properties, Clipper Realty, Columbia Property Trust, Empire State Realty Trust, New York City REIT, Paramount Group, SL Green Realty, Vornado Realty Trust. You know, how can they maintain their dividends with buildings sitting mostly vacant? And, you know, it's not just the office REITs. Let's not forget what's happened to the mall REITs. They've been pummeled. Let's not forget the restaurant, the REITs that mostly have restaurant properties. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The REITs that are still doing well would be their single-family home REITs. There's apartment REITs, the residential type of REITs. But most of these others, office and retail REITs, I just would have very little exposure, and yet REITs are a very, very popular vehicle for income. But what good is that income if you're losing your principal? If the principal's going down, you're still getting the dividends. I'm all about total return. I don't want to end up flat for the year or down owning a REIT. I want a profit on both ends of the equation, the capital appreciation and the income. Okay, good news. The U.S. trial of AstraZeneca. Now, I see the stock is not even moving on this news. You know, I pulled the plug on my AstraZeneca. I owned AstraZeneca. It's a good dividend payer. I owned it before COVID ever came along. They had a really good business. Profitable, growing very, very fast. But then the drug stocks, they've been very poor investments. The large drug stocks, I'm talking Merck, Glaxo, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, you know, even though they're becoming more and more biotech-like and they're increasing their pipelines by buying up small biotechs, the results have been very disappointing in the large pharma companies. Now, AstraZeneca's trial, they're one of the major players in this vaccine, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and, of course, Moderna. But they had a patient fall ill back on September 6th. Okay, here's the risk you take when you sign up as a, you know, a guinea pig. I think they pay you to be part of the trial. But they had a subject in the U.K., that fell ill with a rare inflammatory spinal disorder after inoculation. Well, I mean, that halted things. That set them back 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks now. The trials have been halted in the U.S. and in the U.K. I think they're going on in Brazil and maybe a few other places, but that really put them back. Yeah, it's resumed in Brazil, India, and South Africa. Now, if you volunteer for the trial to take AstraZeneca, they're going to let you know that what happened to this one person, a rare inflammatory spinal disorder after inoculation. And I see, even though the trials have started back up or getting ready to start back up for AstraZeneca, the stock is going nowhere. I mean, it's been mired in the $52 to $53 range for a long time. I'll say this about AstraZeneca. I really like the valuation on it, and I think there's some big growth in front of them. But you know what? The second half of my equation, you have to have a little bit of momentum going for you. The relative strength ranking on AstraZeneca right now is 46, and it's dropped precipitously in my rank because of that half of the equation, which is momentum. I do not like to own a dead stock month after month after month. It's dead money. It's sitting there in my portfolio. I'm holding risk, and I'm not getting anything on my money. So that's why I like that little bit of momentum along with valuation. That's the combination I like peanut butter and chocolate. Okay, the other big story here, the fight. Disney in this corner, but they're not the heavyweight. California is the heavyweight, and California, Disney keep going back and forth. 28,000 people laid off at Disneyland. You know, I grew up just 45 minutes, an hour south of Disneyland. We went to Disneyland, was part of our culture. We went to Disneyland, quite often as kids. And, my father was a very well-known commercial artist. A lot of his friends worked for Disney Studios. And, they're a major employer. Not only are they a major employer, think of the peripheral benefit to Anaheim. You know how many convention centers, hotels, restaurants are built around Disneyland, the city of Anaheim? And yet it is still shut down. Obviously, Disney World in Florida is open. Disney not happy with Governor Newsom. Now they're saying maybe they can operate with the 25% capacity, a reservation, no sales the day of, mask usage, but no date is given, as Orange County is currently still under red status, meaning shut down. So that fight goes on. You've also got the fight. You know, there's going to come a time. I think one of the other big movements, one of the other big sectors that's on the right side of the street right now is this whole move towards electric vehicles. I said it. I spoke at a workshop in Minneapolis several years ago. I said one of the biggest sectors that has not really been disrupted by technology is the automobile sector. We're still doing it the same old way. I said there's going to be a revolution. I wanted to come up with my own ETF back then called eCar. But, it's just too crowded. It's a crowded field, the ETF field. Well, I was right. That is one of the hottest industries, whether it's autonomous driving, whether it's Carvana, whether it's Vroom, whether it's Tesla, whether it's lithium. That whole car revolution continues. New Jersey joins California. They will not allow gas car sales by 2035. That's not that far off in the future. So California, New Jersey, no gas car sales by 2035. Currently in New Jersey, electric cars are just 8% of all car sales. Hence you see this race. Ford, GM, Volvo, you name it, getting in on the electric vehicle craze. And of course, we own a few right now. One of them may be our featured stock of the day. Has anybody been watching Bitcoin lately? It's hitting 12,000 now. I think it's starting to become more and more mainstream. I see PayPal is now going to start to allow users. Maybe I'll get paid for subscriptions in Bitcoin. I don't know. We'll see. But Bitcoin certainly does seem to become more mainstream. I personally have a little investment in the Bitcoin Trust, GBTC. GBTC. But you've seen some major companies like MicroStrategy and another one in the Silicon Valley that are putting their cash into Bitcoin. And Amazon is going to let employees work from home through June of 2021. And you want to own an office REIT? Yeah, PayPal is launching a crypto service. Why? Because Square is offering one. If one guy does it, you got to come back. And guess who else is getting in on all of this? JP Morgan, which I think they're a little late to the game here. They're firing a shot at Square and PayPal with Quick Accept. Well, I own PayPal in my premier growth portfolio. I do not own Square. I do not own JP Morgan. I think PayPal is the real player there. Square is too. When we come back, we're going to move to electric vehicles and what's happening there and our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the market hangs on every word coming out of Pelosi's spokespeople, out of Mnuchin's spokespeople. They want stimulus. You know, the stimulus has got to end at some point in time. What will the market do then? Then it's going to have to go back to what it's always followed over the years, and that's earnings. What's been the biggest factor over the last 12 years in taking the S&P 500 from 670 to 3,500? Earnings, S&P 500 earnings have been growing since then. I publish that graph every single weekend in my newsletter. You can look at the graph going back to 2005. You can see earnings topping out and starting to trickle downwards in 2007. That was the precursor to the 2008-2009 bear. Indexes follow earnings, and they follow earnings expectations. Okay. Now fast forward to 2009, earnings bottomed at $53 per share, something like that. They've been growing ever since. There is no better indicator than earnings in predicting the stock market. People say, well, you can't predict the stock market at all. Well, you know what? The market follows earnings, and the market follows earnings expectations. Now, you go back to February of this year when COVID first came on our shores, it was pretty obvious that earnings to the S&P 500 were finally, that growth in earnings for 12 straight years was going to finally come to an end. This year, after hitting a record of $163 per share last year, in other words, earnings have tripled since 2009. Guess what? The market has gone right along with that. Now, all of a sudden, the expectations going forward were in big question in February. We didn't know what kind of hit we would take to earnings. But that number started to settle in at about $133 per share this year versus $163 per share last year. You stick a 20 multiple on that, and the market built in a very quick bear market. It didn't last long, just long enough to make your head spin. And then I started looking ahead to 2021. And earnings were expected to resume to their growth trajectory once again. That's why I was so bullish. I was very cautious in February and March. I took some big profits off the table. I put in some hedges just in case. We were in a very uncertain territory there for several weeks. You can times of trouble, March, April, May. You look at what I wrote in those articles on Seeking Alpha. Did I give you good advice back then? I was one of the few that was saying all in at this point because the market's earnings are going to resume to their growth trajectory. Now, we still don't know what coronavirus is going to do going forward, but I update those earnings estimates every single week for the S&P 500s, and I use them as my guide as to whether I want to be all in or start getting cautious, and we will have another 50% correction bear market. I've lived through two of them. I'm glad I have that experience. Back in the year 1999, the market was bloated. The NASDAQ topped out in the year 2000 in March at 5,300. It took 13 years to get back to that level. The average retiree can't take that. You've got to have some defense ready to go along the way just in case. You can't have your offense on the field all the time. Now, we haven't had another 50% hit that happened in 08 and 09, the financial crisis, which was pretty obvious something had to give there with all of the loans and all of the debt going bad. It took a monstrous bailout to keep our financial system alive that almost collapsed. I just don't believe in being there. There's a fine line. You can't be too passive on the one hand and just, well, I'm just going to ride through this. Hopefully I'll make it back. Well, if you're 75 years old and you take that 50% hit, that's a problem. And at the same time, you can't be too active because you want to take advantage of the long-term returns that the market has given. In my book, it comes down to making a lot of right individual decisions in what you own. Okay, that's very important. That's why I, am so big on the selection that goes into my portfolios. And there's times when I'm very, very aggressive, which I have been 90% of my career. But there's also times when I've seen that things just don't look good going forward, and a little bit of caution is advised. And I do still think that this election season, there's some uncertainty there. There's some big uncertainty there. And I don't think having your pedal on the metal right now. Now, having said that, you can look at my portfolios. I publish them in my newsletter every week. I have about 20 or 25% cash overall at my firm. And I have companies that are on the right side of the street in this coronavirus pandemic, not on the wrong side of the street. I don't want to own airlines and hotels and REITs. That's the wrong side of the street. Oil and gas stocks. I don't want to have any exposure to those sectors whatsoever. I like companies that are flourishing and thriving, not getting beaten up. I mean, it's your choice. I saw a big value investor went bust this past week. I believe in value investing. But the whole contrarian method of investing, buying stuff that is totally beaten to a pulp, has not served investors well for many years now. Well, I didn't get to a featured stock of the day. Instead, I gave you my macro call for the day. If you don't get my newsletter for any other reason, I'm the guy who's been right about the market year after year after year after year. And I use a very simple indicator. Earnings. If you'd like to check out the newsletter, my current macro call on the market, why don't you go to Seeking Alpha and see if I've been right or not over the last several years. You can go to GundersonCapital.com. And if you want to put a money manager on your side that is vigilant and constantly looking out for you, put Bill Gunderson and his team to work for you. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.